Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. New Hampshire's the battleground in the Republican primary.
We want to win by big numbers. We don't want to just win. We want to win by big, big numbers.
But the frontrunner, Donald Trump, has been dealing with politicians from South Carolina. Friday, he picked up the endorsement of Senator Tim Scott. He also continued his attacks on the former governor of the Palmetto State, Nikki Haley.
She is not presidential timber. Now, when I say that, that probably means that she's not going to be chosen as the vice president.
Trump will speak tonight. Haley is holding several campaign events today in New Hampshire. The Northeast, the Midwest, and then deep into the South, all dealing with bone-chilling cold. The weather's been blamed for at least 55 deaths nationwide. President Biden told mayors he's ready for substantial changes to border policy, including the asylum process. That's something congressional Republicans are demanding in exchange for more aid to Ukraine and Israel. And actor Alec Baldwin indicted for a second time on an involuntary manslaughter charge in connection with a fatal movie set shooting. This is ABC News. Ohio continues to be a battleground over gender-affirming care. Governor Mike DeWine wants to require that psychiatrists, endocrinologists, and medical ethicists counsel anyone who's seeking care, not just minors.
I am concerned that there could be fly-by-night providers, clinics, that might be dispensing medication to adults with no counseling and no basic standards to assure quality care.
Governor vetoed a bill that bans all gender-affirming care for minors, but one chamber in the state legislature has already voted to override that veto. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has sued the state's Attorney General Letitia James. He's seeking the release of sexual misconduct interviews from the investigation that led to his resignation. Cuomo argues he needs these statements in order to properly defend himself from two sexual harassment lawsuits. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Her name is Pam Jahnke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station. Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM in Oshkosh. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Jahnke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe, Pam Jahnke, on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM in Oshkosh.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Winter is an especially dangerous time for people with Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia. Mark Moran explains.
People who suffer from dementia face a host of increased risks in winter months. Everything from falls to getting lost, even in places that used to be familiar. And in the winter, the Alzheimer's Association's Lauren Livingston says low temperatures, ice, and darkness are just a few things that make conditions especially dangerous for people with dementia, but there are others.
One big one is wandering. That can be a problem for people living with Alzheimer's or dementia, especially in severe weather. They don't really understand, maybe when they go outside, that it's dangerous, so they might not put on any coats or additional clothing to keep warm. And if they wander, they may get lost and not be able to find their way home.
Livingston says keeping track of people with dementia in the winter is especially critical. Memory problems are hallmark signs of people living with dementia, but Livingston says there's another equally debilitating symptom called sundowning, which is made worse in shorter, darker days.
It can cause them to become a little bit more agitated in the evening time when the sun is going down, and with the sunlight being less and less in the winter time, it can cause for a longer period of time for people with dementia to experience the sundowning and be more agitated.
She adds that people with dementia are also more prone to falls, a risk made worse by snowy, icy weather. There are currently more than 6 million people nationwide living with Alzheimer's disease. There's no cure and very few treatments available proven to slow its progress. This is Mark Moran. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-teens. Clear tonight, round zero, partly sunny, 17 for Sunday. It will be breezy out of the southwest. For Monday, mostly cloudy, a high near 30 degrees. And into the mid-30s for Tuesday and Wednesday. Chance of rain or snow Tuesday night. Currently, one above.
Your home for Mino and the Mayor in the morning.
Weekdays from 6 till 8.
Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, that's what we do every Tuesday night. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Johnny Lupinacci. Okay, Anya, check -3 degrees is the real temperature where you are right now, right?
That's what I'm hearing, yes.
Okay, and then you want to have us talk about the new farm show.
That's right.
That is being on. And so, and somebody gets up at 2:30 in the morning to do the farm show. So it will be -30 when the farm show is coming off of Civic Media. Give us what about this new farm? What's happening with this?
So we have this fantastic new show on Civic Media, and I want to make sure that I get the name exactly right. But we have a show specifically servicing the farmers of this great state. And like
Let's
you said,
go.
You said somebody's going to be getting up at 2 a.m. to do the farm show. Dude, somebody's getting up at 2 a.m. to do the farms across the
state. Yeah, without food.
So
milk the cows.
That's pretty right. Important. Where's the name of this show, man? It's Pam Yankee hosting it for sure, and she is fantastic. I can say that much.
And this is coming across the Civic Media. So all the people out there, yeah, 2 in the morning. That's right. But my goodness, -2.
The Midwest. The Midwest Farm Report.
There she Midwest, is. Yes.
There it is. That Midwest Farm Report, and that will be...
Fabulous Farm Babe. Let's go.
The Fabulous Farm Babe. So if you're looking for the Farm Report, well, don't look any further. It's Civic Media. They have it right now. So check that out. Johnny Lupinacci, we are back. Who knew last week that we could talk about plagiarism in a way... that my neighbor could go, I understood what you guys were talking about. I get it. I remember doing note cards and then being told how I had to take notes and how I had to line them up. And if I did the quotations and all that, I could be in big, big trouble. You know, we did a great primer. We talked about plagiarism. You know, we got into, hey, what happened with the president at Harvard University with the plagiarism, you know, even went down a little bit of that rabbit hole of, okay, and what does this mean for higher education? We have, though, tonight, you know, we're going to go, I don't know if it's round two as much as this is just another way to look at this issue, but we have the distinguished visiting professor in information science and Brooks School at Cornell University. She was the director of IT policy at Cornell University, academic dean of cybersecurity program at UMass Amherst, and principal of Metrano and Associates consulting firm. Prior to this, Johnny, let's check it out. She was the congressional Democratic candidate in New York in 2018 and 2020. She has a doctorate in American women's history from Binghamton University and a law degree from Cornell. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Tracy Metrano. Tracy, how are you there in New York? Is it -3 where you are? Is it?
It's cold, but it's not that cold. It's probably 20 degrees, something like that, Tim.
Okay, so first thing, though, we were talking before the show. So you're a Buffalo Bills fan. I'm a Steelers fan. Yeah. Last night, you prevailed.
Last night, yeah.
Yeah,
I told you that would happen, though, Tim.
Steelers have won Super Bowls. And
yes.
We've been there, but we have never won one.
That's so true.
That should be the year. Joshy and company have just got to pull it through.
Well, they have been the heartbreak. My my roommate and fraternity brother in college, a Rochester native, Buffalo Bills fan last night, was having a lot of fun in our fraternity chat 39 years later since college, but still rubbing it in to my face of how bad the Steelers
were. I like the Steelers. So
yeah, the Steelers,
it doesn't
good
sound
team
quite fair. They're a good
they
team.
Didn't they're okay, yeah. But they, you know what, it was luck that they were there. I don't know. But Johnny, we're saying right now, though, Detroit, Green Bay Packers. My goodness, we've got, you know, it could be an interesting football season, but this isn't a sports talk show. This is education. So Tracy, you have a piece in Inside Higher Education that just caught me this morning. Plagiarism, AI, and higher education, and then seize the opportunity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Before we get specific, what was the compelling nature behind putting this out for you on Inside Higher Education?
I've had a blog with Inside Higher Ed for, gosh, many years now. I'd have to go back and check. It probably is 10. Although the 4.5 years that I was running for Congress, I went on pause with them. Mm. So there was a break. But I reflect often in this blog about various topics, although I do try to keep it to the main topic of the blog, which is law, policy, and IT. And Scott Jancic, the editor who brought me in, along with Doug Lederman, put a question mark at the end of that title, which I thought was terrific. And what I also try to do is make connections. Mm-hmm. And so bringing those topics together is one of the characteristics of what I shoot for when I sit down to write a post for that blog. I'm trying to make connections between issues, concepts, concerns that people might not automatically see the connections. I try to introduce them.
And I saw the connections. I know Johnny saw them, because you put there, you say, starting with, you know, plagiarism. And we're like, we did the show last week. We did this whole idea of let's bring plagiarism to the masses.
Yeah.
Not to plagiarize, but then also, you know, we put it in the context of, is it being a politically harnessed weapon? In the case of what was happening at Harvard with the president, you know, talking about that, but then going through yours, you know, you're in there, you're talking about plagiarism, higher education, and then AI. And we've talked a lot on this show about AI too, and how these all mix in higher education in your piece. Yeah, the connections are just, they come across and you're like, oh my goodness, I think we can bust some pencils on this topic tonight, because I mean, Johnny Lupinacci, what are you thinking, man?
I mean, exactly. We got into it last week and we started talking about, like, it can be all these things. Like, we're not here, you know, rubber stamping plagiarism or just saying, oh, it happens all the time, it's okay. I mean, it is happening far too often and it's a massive problem. That said, it is also this, like, you know, this open wound in academia right now for a lot of contributing factors that, you know, Tracy wrote about, we talked a little bit about last week. But it's, you know, it's a weak spot. I'd say it's more than an Achilles heel, and it's being weaponized. And so and some people might step back and say, well, you know, you leave a weakness open like that, and now you got a natural consequence. And that's also true. And so here we are, where we have several truths that make for a messy situation that's perfect to talk through and talk about, because all the things can coexist. We can be, you know, against plagiarism, you know, and wanting to clean up, especially academic writing, and journalistic integrity in general, right? The two are tied. As this, at the same time as we can say, this is also being something that is like fuel on the fire of this, you know, this vicious, you know, angry, volatile energy that is not, it is designed, it is not generative. It's designed to be combative. It's designed to be a major distraction from the most important question we can all be grappling with is how do we live together in a way that does the least amount of harm to one another, right? And so instead of, you know, just saying, no, let's just do lots of harm to each other, which is that's throwing lots of fuel on that fire. But the interesting part is usually we can step back and say, you're wrong. You don't understand. In this case, in a lot of ways, we're not wrong. And so it's an interesting, I think it's a conversation that when we can have it and we can open up some doors to it, we can better understand how we can all communicate across some boundaries towards better solutions, towards, you know, better information and access to that information and communicating it.
Right. So I wonder if what we're doing then, though, too, is like, let's take this then, you know, maybe you've got three broad topics: plagiarism, AI, higher education. All right, plagiarism. Tracy, how do you know when you see plagiarism?
I remember as a teaching assistant for an ancient Roman class taught by one of the finest professors I ever had. Thomas Africa was his name. And reading through a paper, so I'm going back 35, maybe even 40 years, Tim. But I remember, even though I was just learning, and as a graduate student, both of you will appreciate, you're just pouring yourself into reading and literature. You do it 24/7. You dream about it. You wake up, you start again, you write a little bit, and you read more. And as I was reading the student's paper, I just remember hitting a paragraph that was not consistent with the rest of the writing. It's not as if I was studying American women's history, so colonial to the present. I wasn't studying ancient history as my main subject, although I was very interested in it. And I didn't know all the literature, but I knew something was wrong with that paper. And so I went in the library and I found the damn book that the student had plagiarized from. And then we had the educational moment. And it was an interesting experience for me to have to be the person trying to help this young man understand why it was important for him to cite that source. It was all about why he was there, why we were there in the first place. And that was the positive side.
The learning moment, and I think that's where a lot of people have that memory, is that, you know, we were taught, you know, here it is too. And you say, what a perfect time to be, you know, told, hey, look, here's an example of this thing called plagiarism, and I think you might be engaging in it. In fact, then let's have an educational discussion about how we can move that forward. So we got plagiarism coming forward. We got Tom, LA Tom on the line. More when we get back with Tracy Matrano. Higher education, plagiarism, AI, busted pencils, back after the break.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
An official visit from the White House to the Badger State will coincide with the anniversary of the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision.
Reproductive rights will be the topic when Vice President Kamala Harris visits Wisconsin Monday.
Civic Media News Director Terry Bell and the rest of the team will be tracking Vice President Harris and her visit to the West Bend area. Find what you need to know here on your local Civic Media Radio station and the Civic Media app.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it's New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. If my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
That's not what we do here. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest, she is the distinguishing visiting professor in information science and the Brooks School at Cornell University, Tracy Matrano. We're talking plagiarism, AI, higher education. We get a little bit deeper, but you know, we got our call. LA Tom. LA Tom is on the line. LA Tom, what's happening, my friend?
Hey, Tim. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Hello, Tracy, and hello, Johnny.
Hey.
I don't want to take us off topic, but it's something that I've really been thinking about that maybe even Tracy would be interested in.
All right.
One, I don't think the majority of the people in this country understand that the way education gets funded is by property taxes. So therefore, when you look at it logically, places that maybe don't have a higher income property tax base are not going to get as much expense or not get as much funding for their schools. Like I said, this is a topic maybe for a different day, but it's something that it really, I think, is important. It's something I did not know. And when I found that out, I was like, wow, I didn't know that. And I consider myself, quite educated. One of the other things I wanted to say is just the idea of, you look at the different NFL teams we were talking about earlier. And one thing about, Green Bay and love, and how everything should be about love. And that's what Jordan, who is, doing what he's doing with the Packers, is about love. But what I wanted to say is that it shows that we all need to show up as a team. It isn't about one individual. And that's one of the things that I love about the Green Bay Packers this year, is it really is a team effort.
Well, L.A. Tom, taking us down a little bit of a different road. I know, we love it. That's why he's always.
I'll throw a thought in if anyone wants. I once taught a book. It's still available. It's got to be 25 years old now, but I don't think much has changed. It's Jonathan Kozol's Savage Inequalities.
Oh, yeah.
And there are two books in all the years I've been teaching that one of them I had to stop teaching because I would just start crying, and I would try every year. And that was Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye. So I had to stop teaching that book. Jonathan Kozol's is a bona fide academic book, but it is totally illuminative and heartbreaking. Yep. And you might be interested in that book. Again, it's what didn't come out yesterday, but I am sure that many of the conditions it talks about have probably gotten worse.
Yeah, L.A. Tom, check out that book. And L.A. Tom, we always love when you're calling us. Okay, Tracy, Johnny was talking about this, though, too. So we've got plagiarism. Let's introduce this new concept, though, too. How does artificial intelligence give us something different that's something to be considered?
It's a wicked curveball in the plagiarism game.
We just explained. It's like, I copied from a text the wrong way. I didn't quote the right way.
Right.
Now all of a sudden we got artificial intelligence going, but I didn't do it. AI did it. I didn't plagiarize. AI wrote this and it's perfectly legal. Or no, Tracy?
Well, it's we will see whether it's a copyright infringement. Okay. The New York Times has brought probably the most comprehensive case on this subject, but there are others, many other artists who are suing OpenAI and other AI companies for copyright infringement. So copyright infringement is not the same thing as plagiarism. Plagiarism is not a law. It is a policy, and it is a policy that matters to higher education for reasons that both of you know and probably all of your listeners. But we exist on innovation and the development of ideas, but we do so on the shoulders of those who came before us. And in our pursuits, we strive to recognize their contributions and then talk about our new thoughts and ideas and discoveries and designs and so forth. And keeping track of what we're using and then what we're building off of on that is central to scholarship. And it is something, and I did listen to the program you had last night where you, often it begins in high school, and I loved your story about the little index cards and so forth. AI is throwing in a whole other ball of wax, so to speak, insofar as you can now ask a program, write a book review of Jonathan Kozol's Savage Inequalities, because that's my assignment. I'm making this up.
Mm-hmm.
But I often have students write book reviews. I teach 400 and 500 level classes, and students no longer read books. And so I want them to get back into a deep reading mode. And especially, I teach a lot of data science students. And this is a very foreign concept for them. All the more reason I think it's important. But there it is. I have a book. I have three or four books they can choose from that we have read or referred to throughout the semester. And the easy thing would be to say one of the books I'm using this semester in a course on AI, for example, is Kate Crawford's Atlas of AI. I bet we could go right now, open up a window and ask ChatGPT, write a review of Kate Crawford's Atlas of AI. And I bet it wouldn't be bad. It probably wouldn't get the A. It might not even get the B, depending. But if you're taking the course pass fail, you can turn it in and walk away. Now, I think one of the challenges that AI creates for professors or teachers is it's going to force us to be more deliberative about what and how we're teaching. So I make it really clear to the students that they should use these resources, because if you're just trying to get started, like, really, what was the point of this book again? And, you know, how can I get oriented to it? Go ahead, ask ChatGPT to write that review for you, but you're not going to turn that in. You can read it. You can get a framework in your mind. You can identify that you better talk about X, Y, and Z, because those are the big themes in the book. But then put it aside and write your own review. And then how I make it very specific to the course, the students then have to integrate other aspects of the books, readings, conversations, debates that we have throughout the course, and it must be integrated. And I make it really clear that that's 50% of the grading.
Nice.
But that review is not going to get them very far. But see, that's part of pedagogy. Go ahead,
Dan. No, it's absolutely, but I wonder now the way you described that, and Joanne, please hold on. We're going to get you back after the break, and we're coming through this. But when I ask AI to write a review of Jonathan Kozol's book, and I turn that into you, here's the question. Yeah. Is that plagiarism, or is that just being a lazy student who didn't have the time to put the effort in the way I should? Because
it's plagiarism.
No, did I steal somebody's idea, or did okay? That's where we're at.
You stole ChatGPT's.
Okay, so ChatGPT, I can steal their idea.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. New Hampshire's the battleground in the Republican primary, but the frontrunner, Donald Trump, has been dealing with politicians from South Carolina. Friday, he picked up the endorsement of Senator Tim Scott. He also continued his attacks on the former governor of the Palmetto State, Nikki Haley.
She is not presidential timber. Now, when I say that, that probably means that she's not going to be chosen as the vice president.
Trump will speak tonight. Haley is holding several campaign events today in New Hampshire. The Northeast, the Midwest, and deep into the South, all dealing with bone-chilling cold. The weather's been blamed for at least 55 deaths nationwide. President Biden told mayors he's ready for substantial changes to border policy, including the asylum process. That's something congressional Republicans are demanding in exchange for more aid to Ukraine and Israel. And actor Alec Baldwin indicted for a second time on an involuntary manslaughter charge in connection with a fatal movie set shooting. This is ABC News.
It's the Packers and the 49ers at Levi's Stadium. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The winner of this game goes on to the NFC Championship, one step away from the Super Bowl. The Packers played a near-perfect game last week against the Cowboys. Can they be any better? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
We're going to need a better game for sure. Absolutely. I think you can always get better, right? That's our mindset. There's always something that you can improve upon. We're going against a great opponent, and we're going to need to be at our best.
As the one seed the 49ers had last weekend off, how impressed were they by this young Packers team? Linebacker Fred Warner.
I mean, they got our attention no matter what, honestly. You win on the road as a seventh seed against a really good Dallas team. I mean, that's enough in itself. And then the fact that they won the way that they did. The thing that was really impressive was the way that they were able to run the football. You know, Aaron Jones has been playing at a super high level. I've respected his game for a long time. We got that mutual respect there. So that's going to be obviously another point of emphasis for us.
That's 49ers linebacker Fred Warner. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-teens. Clear tonight, round zero, partly sunny, 17 for Sunday. It will be breezy out of the southwest. For Monday, mostly cloudy, a high near 30 degrees. And into the mid-30s for Tuesday and Wednesday. Chance of rain or snow Tuesday night. Currently, one above.
Some days, my active psoriatic arthritis makes it hard to get in the game. Now, the ball is in my court, thanks to treating my skin and joints with SKYRIZI, risankizumab RIZA, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults. Nothing is everything. SKYRIZI helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to SKYRIZI. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SKYRIZI, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about SKYRIZI and visit SKYRIZI.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Mino and the Mayor.
I've always been a big Rod Stewart fan.
Love him.
First song I ever made out to was Maggie May.
Did you see him?
You know what I remember? I had a runny nose. I was a freshman in high school. We were going to a basketball game.
John, I think that's enough.
First date, going with this other couple. The guy had a pickup truck. We rode the back. And I know my nose rubbed against her cheek. And I'm thinking, I wonder if I need to wipe that off.
Jeez. God, I used to like Rod Stewart.
Love Rod Stewart. Yeah.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We always sing your songs on and on and on and on. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Our guest, Tracy Matrano, Cornell University, Plagiarism, AI, Higher Education. We did some plagiarism. We're into AI. We're going to go first, though, Joanne. Joanne is out there in Madison. Joanne, how are you tonight? Joanne, are you still there? Maybe not just yet, but okay, we'll wait for to get the cue from Anya if Joanne's going to be back in the waiting on there. She may have gotten, you know, it's so darn cold, the phone lines probably froze on this. But so we were asking the question though about artificial intelligence, and we gave a great example because LA Tom called and said, you know, I want to know a little bit about this. You gave him a good book recommendation. Boom, though. Okay, I have an assignment. My professor, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, said, write a book review of Jonathan Kozol. I go home and I say, hey, chat, write me a 2-paragraph book review about Jonathan Kozol. I turn it in to Dr. Lupinacci. Dr. Lupinacci says, Tim, this isn't your work. And I go, well, but I didn't steal it from anybody. I didn't take anybody's ideas. I just asked a tool to write something for me. Why is that plagiarism when I do that?
Tracy. Why is that plagiarism? Well, yeah. You didn't write it. And
okay.
You also didn't come up with the ideas. You know what's interesting? The debate about the president at Harvard. I haven't done anything more than read the extensive pieces that came out all over the place, the Post, Journal, Times, Atlantic. And it appears as if her mistake was not to cite and not to put the quotation marks, and in some cases to kind of take a lot of language verbatim and then not cite it. She says that she still stands by her ideas. And I think I get the distinction without knowing her area of work. I think what she's trying to say is the research she did was still hers. Her commentary on it is still hers. The conclusions that she still draws, she stands by in the scholarly oeuvre of her work in that area. And so it's kind of interesting to then take your case of the student who has chat do the book review. Mm-hmm. Clearly, it is not their work, and it is supposed to be their work. And if they're taking it from anything, including chat, then they should cite it. And I emphasize, including chat. Students say to me, how should I cite it? And I just say chat and then the date. And then what the prompt was. And at least you're giving credit to where it's coming from.
Well, there you go, though. That seems so simple then, the way you just said that. It's like, okay, so I can do that, but I'm going to say I did that and just admit it and cite it as that go. Okay, we got Joanne back on the line. Joanne from Madison. Joanne, how are you tonight?
Well, very cold, but I'm very happy to be on the line. Let's talk about the discussion on AI with the notion of the oral culture. We're moving toward an oral culture, not just because of AI, but because of the video gear that we have, VR, the ways that we can record ourselves constantly, as people do on the TikTok and all of that. And what we are moving toward is the type of culture where, as Martin Luther King did, the ministers, the preachers would take from other preachers, take themes, take expressions, take the cadence and all of that, and that's the way that those remarkable cultures were extended. We were limiting ourselves so much with our written culture and APA style and, you know, 1.5-inch margins and all of that. We are opening up ourselves now to a culture with a lot more remixing, all sorts of expression that may be borrowing and maybe stealing in some sense of the word, but will make the culture move forward. So great comments, and sorry for the mix-up with the phones.
No, well, Joanne, thank you. That's great. I know where Joanne is going with this, because I had this conversation with a colleague today. I put it in the chat. Nobody else listening to the radio can see our chat. Sampling this idea here, and I don't know if we want to go too deep into this, but so let's. During the break, I put an example of an AI-generated text that talks about, it's an opening paragraph or the opening sentence to a paragraph of a book that I'm starting to write. And yes, ChatGPT wrote it. And however, I said the difference is I spent the entire weekend teaching ChatGPT to write like me by having it read and analyze like 30 different blog posts that I've written over the past 10 years. And so then I asked it to write this kind of introductory paragraph to a book that would, you know, and make it sound like me. And it did this. And the potential here is that now, is this plagiarism? Is this actually still teaching it? Am I using a new technique to potentially use the strength of a GPT artificial intelligence, but if it wasn't for my original content and my original ideas, these five sentences right here or an introduction could never come into creation had I not taught ChatGPT how to write this paragraph. Wonder if you had any thoughts on that. We're a little bit off topic here, Tracy, but what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a fascinating question and ingenious of you to have set that up. If you're the author of how the model got trained, then I suppose it's still yours. But if I were you, I would make it really clear in an introduction, in a footnote somewhere, exactly what you've done now, which is to explain it rather than kind of just go on and act as if you're doing it in the old fashioned way. May I throw a couple of quick words in? Yeah. One thing, people use this word stealing. Stealing is really when you're picking up, you know, a compact in a drugstore and putting it in your pocket and walking out the door. You're infringing copyright. The content owners back in the copyright wars of the aughts with Napster and file sharing, they loved to call it stealing. And I spent many of my early years trying to teach people stealing is physical objects. It's copyright infringement when you're using Napster. The other thing I want to say is this thing about ideas. You can never copyright an idea. So there's a distinction with plagiarism, but it is absolutely critical. And that's why I was making the distinction that previous president and now Professor Gay was trying to make in her defense, that if she didn't cite things properly and put the quotation marks, if she took things straightforward and didn't kind of rethink it in her own words, those are problems, yes. But she stands by her ideas and her research. And that is where copyright and plagiarism really distinguish from each other. Because it would be, if someone else had written a dissertation on Catholic women's higher education with the thesis that it was all about the assimilation of the American Catholic community to American society and not quoted me, I could stand up and say, hey, I wrote that.
Right.
That's exactly what my idea was. And without citing me, and you've just written an article or whatever, without citing me on exactly this topic, it's either an enormous coincidence, and then we would have to look and see the language and see the sites and resources that the person used. You know, there's a whole process. But my point here is that that was my thesis. And even if the person coincidentally came up with it, the problem would be that he or she had not read the historiography. And so then that's their problem. So they might get out of the plagiarism per se, But if they hadn't read the historiography and pretended that they're just starting all new when there is literature out there on it, then that's a problem too in terms of scholarship. But it's important to distinguish these things, the stealing, copyright, and plagiarism. They're three separate things. And yes, we might experience the concepts of crossover, but they are distinguishable.
Oh, it gets deep. Who knew? As I said, Johnny.
I mean, it's great though, because when we're having this discussion, what really is coming to the surface is that writing is a process.
Yes.
Of creating, and it borrows language, right? Mm-hmm. We're bound by words, and we're bound by the arrangement of those words, and especially when we're communicating our ideas, that mm-hmm. is ever important. And Tracy opened up with this, that when you're writing, you're creating something new, but on the shoulders and in the boundaries of a language that's shared by so many others. And right. So part of that process is the work when you're a creator of this. And this, mm-hmm. I would say this is true for music. This is true for mm-hmm. art, mm-hmm. that there is a responsibility that you take on, almost like a Hippocratic oath that mm-hmm. healers take on is that you have the responsibility to acknowledge where your influences are coming from, to yeah. include that in the yes. conventions mm-hmm. of the culture. And I love what Joanne offered here. It really, mm-hmm. it really reminded me of music in a lot of ways, because
exactly.
I started to think about this. I started to think, well, what if Tim writes this whole book with AI helping him out? How is that too different than like auto-tune or, you know, creating mm-hmm. a beat on mm-hmm. a drum machine instead of on drums? And hey, you're the creator. Like Tracy said, share your process, or we'll hear it, because we can tell if with the trained eye in writing or the trained ear in music, we can say, oh, clearly he used a drum machine or looped here or did this kind of, you know, mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. effect pedal with things. You know, and who, to me, I get to this level, if you're training it and you're using it with the responsibility of the boundaries of, say, the convention that we catch up to. Now, technology moves faster than we can often deliberate on and figure out what are those boundaries, but you use the tool. What do I care if I decide not to use that tool? Because in my craft, I choose, it might be even easier. In fact, at this point, it's easier for me to write a post or to write a paper or an article than it is to involve chat, GTP or AI in it. But that's my choice. As long as you're doing the due diligence to acknowledge and to cite correctly and to, I guess I shifted a little bit. I said, like, I don't care if you use AI. You know, as long as you're acknowledging it and it's a tool that you're bringing to the product without compromising the integrity of what you're sharing, and you're still acknowledging yeah. citing properly, let's
maybe
go.
Maybe I would be a little old fashioned to say, if I were hiring and you have sent in your work, Tim, mm-hmm. I would say, oh, it doesn't look like Tim feels very confident about being able to write himself.
That's right. Mm.
So you'll avoid the plagiarism argument, which could be fatal. But sure. if you're going to rely totally on the expression of the AI tool to be the presentation, you might open yourself up to that criticism. But I again repeat, maybe I'm old-fashioned. Maybe yeah. we will get to scholarship where it does exactly this ingenious thing that you did.
I don't know if it's old fashioned. I think it's what you just said. Johnny was talking about this, but you know, I had another person because I've been talking about this today, showing people. We have a text from Jim in Appleton said, "Can AI list the sources that it used to write its reports?" Sometimes, and that's a whole other thing though too, because it notoriously makes up sources.
Yeah,
it does. I've had that experience.
Yeah, for Jim's quick answer to Jim's question, we tried this in class to kind of show why it's still important that you do some research around cited these people incorrectly cited them and made up sources.
It made up stuff.
Tracy Mitrano, she is the distinguished visiting professor of information sciences and the Brooks School at Cornell University. Tracy, thank you, man. We didn't even really get into the whole higher education part.
It's a pleasure. We gotta
so that means we got to have you back.
Oh, right. I love it.
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. When we get back, Tim and Johnny, we're going to break it down. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk back after the break.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers, we need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yeah, we sing our songs on and on and on. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Thank you to great guest Tracy Matrano from Cornell University, talking plagiarism, AI, higher education, not so much tonight. Really did the plagiarism in the AI, Johnny Lupinacci. So we broke, though, into this potential new ground with Joanne really talking about, is writing potentially evolving? I gave the example and I put it out there of going, well, okay, so I spent the weekend. Okay, I'll just lay it out there. In 2011, I started blogging for the Huffington Post. Okay, largely motivated by the fact that my son was starting to not like school, largely because this is the height, the absolute pinnacle of No Child Left Behind testing. So I write a blog post about, you know, should I boycott, make him an opt-out kid and all that. And that kind of starts my 10-year journey. So I spend all weekend taking all these Huffington posts, popping it into AI and saying, learn this, learn this, learn this, so that it could write like me. And then I ask it to produce some work around introducing what could be a book about my 10 years experience working as an education blogger, radio podcast host. And it produces this piece where you said, you know, I mean, other than the pencils being spelled wrong, which is what AI, for some reason, AI likes to spell busted pencils with a U, it does a pretty good job of not looking too ChatGPT. And you were talking about, I heard somebody else today say, though, well, I mean, that's what a good editor would do. You know, so if Johnny, you're an editor. Have you ever taken somebody's introduction and helped them reimagine it, given them different language, said, get rid of this sentence, like you helped them rewrite it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think so, there's like, so, but there's it, like, that's opening a whole nother book here on like, and it, but it's related in terms of the tools we use in the process of writing. I would say the same thing for like someone who produces music. I mean, It goes into production and it goes into, you know, a level of cleaning it up and utilizing technology often to fix things or, you know, to get that best sort of recorded product out there for listeners. And I think in the writing world as an editor, it's a lot of like that final production stage. And there's some boundaries to it. At a certain point, I'm also an author. So As an editor, I kind of know those boundaries in terms of where am I writing and not helping shape somebody's voice and helping to, you know, clarify what they're saying or help to clean up, to help their distinct sound or in the case of language and writing, their distinct voice complemented there, right? And so people can over edit and insert then authorial sort of tasks into that. So I think there's like a boundary where, yeah, I've cleaned things up or recommended, hey, how would you say this, you know, in a shorter sentence? Or How can you include a few really, really clean adjectives to help describe, you know, like there's prompts you can do. But again, it takes time. And so again, like that loops us back into parts we didn't get into that's Tracy's written about, is the speed and the competitiveness of higher education in writing in general and in creating. Mm-hmm. And I think that's all the creative areas that I'll keep coming back to is writing, just like making music, just like anything creative is a process. And there are a number of tools. And part of that is we're always as a community trying to figure out what the rules are, the conventions of the culture around making music, around making art, around, you know, I can remember the sort of wars between digital and I don't know what you call it, analog, like film, like photographers talking about the differences. I mean, and this is really like, this is, you know, this is going to happen anytime technology moves faster than our human capacity to deliberate as experts, like experts of the craft, writers and editors getting together and say, how is this shaping our industry? And what ways are we going to move and flow with it? And Joanne brought it up tonight. The point that I'm sitting with is maybe writing is evolving. And what I mean by that is the conventions of writing are being impacted not only by creative input from humans, but also with the tool of AI and what it brings to the craft of writing.
Anya, come on. We got to hear from producer Anya. What do you think? Where are we at now? AI jumping in, help. I trained it on all of my stuff. I had it write a little bit of something in my style. What do I need to do? Do I need to give credit to AI sampling? Is that my work? I mean, what does producer Anya think on this?
I gotta answer all those in 2 minutes. Well, I'll say this, you know, and I've said it before, I view AI as a tool. It's a very, very powerful tool. And if you tell it to do something that breaks the rules of what you're doing, it will, because it's that strong. If you tell it to write a review for something both you and it never read, it will do that. You'll probably fail your class. You won't know the book you're talking about. But what I was discussing with producer in training Johnny over here in the room is, you know, the kind of text that ChatGPT presents, you know, it's usually well written other than your pencil misspelling. But, you know, I asked it. I actually did sit here with ChatGPT. I said, write a review for the Savage, the book that you described. And it did. And I read it and it really did move me, because I realized, you know, the reviews I want to be reading are written by people who read it and who have a take. So it's sad to see kids who, you know, the assignment is learn how to write a review. They aren't learning it because they're bypassing it with this tool. And therefore, people think that this tool has no place anywhere. I think that's not good. But I think all of your points about having to cite it are right. If it helps you, whatever you use to help you make a project, you should cite. And chat, I guess, might become part of that in the not so distant future.
It's a creative tool. I like that Johnny was saying. And somebody made, you know, music, the idea of, you know, if we are sampling, you know, the Eagles Hotel California, and I put in a little bit of you know, the Joe Walsh guitar solo into my song, is it still my song? Am I sampling? You know, and in sampling, is that also a creative process and how to actually use that? And so is ChatGPT also engaging us in that type of same thing? I know, Johnny, we're like 40 seconds, so you got a quick take,
man. Let's wrap it up, Tim. I mean, we got so many exciting things going on. We hope our listeners are staying warm, and staying safe in this cold weather, enjoying that success that your football team's having. Green Bay, get ready. The Lions are coming for you. But other than that, folks, have a good one, and thanks for busting pencils with us.
Loving the busting pencils.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to bustedpencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street, this is Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them.
Cancer screening tests can help keep the person you love around longer by detecting changes before cancer develops, or catch it early when it may be easier to treat. And many tests are available for free or covered by insurance. It's time to sound like a broken record. Tell all your friends and family, I love you. Get screened. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support. WISS 1100 AM Berlin. W252DR Oshkosh. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC